Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation Cafe. We're going to have an Obama-Trump-free day. That's the first and last time you're going to hear their names on the show for the next 3 hours. Free of those names for three straight hours, because I frankly have had enough of it. I mean, the election is in a year or more, and the clowns in the media are clamoring to make you think the election is in a day or more. I'm not going to do this for a year or more, because I have more on my mind than Obama and Trump, or Sanders or Hillary. I don't give a damn. How's that? I am sick of it. My mind has more interesting things to think about. And so that's what I want to talk about. So before we get into what I really am going to talk about, I'm going to read you the headlines of the stories that I pulled and that my crew pulled that I was going to talk about till I fell asleep eating leftover Chinese food from last night. I fell asleep because I can't do politics every day. I did it already this week. I did my dose of politics. So here are the stories I would have talked about if I were an ordinary talk show host who didn't have a creative mind. And then after I read you the headlines of the stories I would have talked about if I were an ordinary talk show host who didn't have a creative mind, I'm going to show you what my creative mind wants to talk about. So here are the stories I'm not going to talk about. One, from Newsmax: beyond belief, Obama moves to close last U.S. uranium plant. I mean, that says it all. If he's not the enemy within, would you please name the person who's the enemy within? Can someone please name a bigger enemy within than... Oh, wait, I mentioned his name again. Oh, well, I can't help it, I guess. Beyond belief, Obama moves to close last U.S. uranium plant. Story 2. Putin warns Israel off targeting Iranian targets in Syria. Uh-oh, little old Israel's now trying to start a little trouble with old Russia. How's that going to work out? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Israel wants to play the David and Goliath story all over again. Only this time it's not the Bible. It's not a fantasy being written by men who are low on vitamin B3. Story number 3. Birth tourism booms in California despite federal crackdown. Birth tourism? In Berkeley? Yes, that's right. On a regular home in a residential street in North San Jose, it is a birthing hotel. It caters mainly to Chinese women who come to the United States to grab that prize. Instant U.S. citizenship for their little babies. And then they have an anchor baby. And in case you don't know it, the number one immigrant group in America in 2065 will be not from Mexico, but from China! Birth tourism booms in California, Jerry, despite federal crackdown. And so far as I know, Jerry, they all don't come here to work. For those of you who are Muslim apologists, here's another story for you. Muslim father kills daughter caught shoplifting condoms. Well, we know it's the religion of pieces. A Muslim father has admitted to strangling his 19-year-old daughter to death after she was caught shoplifting condoms to use with a man she had been forbidden from dating. Asadullah Halal Manara Khan used his bare hands to strangle his daughter Lari because she had brought dishonor to the family. The court in Germany heard. Well, okay. Another story. Here's another one I'm not going to talk about. Oscar nominee subjects are going to be a heavy dose of lesbians, transgenders, and pedophile priests. Oh, God. And I thought I already had no reason to go to the movies. So the Oscars are now devolving further and further down into the toilet bowl. The 13 things Muslims will ban first once they replace American culture, according to BuzzPo.com. A radical imam in England has released a list of the 13 things Muslims will ban if and when they suddenly and successfully replace American culture with Sharia law. They'll ban alcohol, pork, gambling, porn, usury, promiscuity, free mixing, gays, cinemas, idolatry, insurance, stocks, and insulting the prophets. Well, that's a small list. That's a heck of a small punch list. You know what I say, Ahmed? Why don't you try it in America? Because we're armed to the teeth. We're not in England. Go ahead and make our day, Ahmed. Next story. Absolutely possible, says John Kerry, that the U.S. and Russia will fight against ISIS. Okay. The last time I believe John Kerry was like never. And finally, it's the story I told you about yesterday. Obama has turned Putin into the world's most powerful leader, and Obama's being laughed at behind his back for the reasons we've told you about for the last 6.5 years or 7 years, whatever the term of this regime has been. 6 years now? I can't even count. It's been a reign of terror. That completes the news portion of the Savage Nation. Now, if our ordinary talk show host, there's 3, 6, 9 good hours of shows there. In fact, an ordinary talk show host can take any one of those stories and, why, I really don't believe that. Now, do you believe it? Mary, you're from Washington. You actually say you believe that? No, that's not true. No, I know the best. I know exactly right. No, you're wrong. I'm right. I'm so smart. But since I'm not going to do that, I'll tell you what I am going to do to show you how my mind thinks. Number one, how do you fight depression without meds? What did he say? Why is Savage doing that? Because I am totally against drugs. And I'm telling you that the human condition is such that human beings have had depression. Well, it's like saying global warming started when industrialization started, when we know that's a fantasy. That's like saying depression began when the drugs were made to fight depression. Or let's say when Sigmund Freud came along to analyze depression. No, depression has been with man since the first caveman got bored in the cave. And he had nothing to do and he started to put chalk drawings on the wall of like a reindeer and a bison. He was bored to death with his wife and children. And in between the hunts, he started to draw on the wall of his cave. So how do you fight depression without medication? I have my tricks. I've been a lifetime fighter of depression. I realized only in the last, it's quite a while now. I didn't admit it to myself, but I've been fighting depression most of my life. Now, I have my reasons. Since I'm not Glenn Beck, I'm not going to sit and tell you why. I'm not going to complain or cry about what happened in my childhood, but things happen. And it was pretty bad. Nothing bad compared to what goes on in, let's say, in Syria to a Christian family where the daughter is taken out and raped by the Muslims or sent around to a whorehouse to be used by vermin in ISIS while Obama does nothing except talk about fake rape on college campuses. So things happen in people's lives which make them kind of down or sad, and they have to overcome it. And I have found a lot of things that worked for me, and I'm going to talk about that, and mainly exercise. I'll tell you now, right now, I can trigger a depressive episode of myself with the wrong diet. I can trigger a depressive episode of myself by so many different means. Also, I can fight them by many means. And I've written books on nutrition over the years, and I've studied under the master's hands, who know an awful lot about it. There are nutrients that will reverse depression in minutes because the nutrients cross the blood-brain barrier as fast as you can imagine. And a lot of our depression is chemical, as you well know. And the worst thing you can do is feed your depression the wrong chemicals. So how do you, the listener of the Savage Nation, fight depression without medication? Here's another little question, a shorty. An easy question to answer. Is God real? How do you know God's real? What's the proof that God's real? I mean, I could sing a song every time I see a leaf or touch the sky or hear a baby cry, I know God is real or whatever. I mean, I can sing this Frankie Lane song. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, I know, you know what I'm saying? But how do you know God is real? How do you know God exists? What, you looked at the blood moon and you saw God? 3, what is romantic love? Is it real? I mean, we've been told that love is the greatest thing, the greatest emotion a man can feel. But I believe that romantic love is self-delusion. I believe that people delude themselves to think that they're in love. Now, I shouldn't say it because there are a lot of 20-somethings who are about to get married, including one of them who works for me. And I don't want to poison jaundice him. He's smiling now on the Skype screen. Went to a rehearsal yesterday for the wedding. So don't take the cynical worldview to heart, Robert. Please, you're young, you're in love. Stick with it. Don't listen to this grizzled old man who's asking this question. But I'm asking my larger audience of any age: first of all, in an age that we live in, how can there be romantic love? I'm serious about that. With internet pornography, can you ever love anybody again? Everything is now crazy and distorted and perverted. But let's put that aside. What is romantic love, and is it real or is it self-delusion? And finally now, if that's not enough for you of lifestyle questions, because we're trying to have an Obama-Trump-free day, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? That's a small question, Robert, isn't it? I mean, you know, if I was an average guy listening to this show, or a woman listening or driving around in the country, are you telling me there's not a person in this country who doesn't want to answer that question in their own head? How do you fight depression without meds? Is God real? How do you know? What is romantic love? Is it real or self-delusion? What is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? Now, if that's not enough for you, you're brain dead. Then you're ready for another Steven Spielberg fantasy. The man who tried to remake Hillary Clinton's image and failed, apparently, because her image is so, well, let us say, impossible to change that even she rejected Spielberg's advice. She's so frozen in hatred that nobody could ever change her persona. You talk about Planned Parenthood. How about Planned Hillaryhood? This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's start right at the top. Let's see. Tell Dr. All right, let's try Patty on WABC. Patty, what's your topic? With all of that I threw out there, with the smorgasbord of the mind that I just put out there, what are you calling about?
Oh, wonderful. The topic of fighting depression without antidepressants. I am a recovering alcoholic. I almost died from drinking and booze. I pretty much didn't get sober till I was 50 years old. And when I got out of the fast little detox, they wanted to put me on antidepressants to stay sober. And I said, listen, I've been involved with drugs. I've been an addict my whole life.
In other words, they took you off one drug, alcohol, and wanted to hook you on another one that had a nice high price tag to it, something you couldn't even buy in a liquor store.
Exactly. So I told this doctor, I said, no way. I said, it just cost me. I mean, I was told I had 90 days to live. And, you know, through the grace of God and AA, I managed to get, I have 15 years behind me, which is a miracle.
I have a lot of former and current depressives who listen to me, by the way. Do you know that?
But, Michael, is it depression or is it living life on life's terms? You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, let me think about, I don't want to just give you a glib answer. No, there is real depression because there are people who can be in relatively good places and good situations and still be depressed.
Negaholic.
Because they're stuck in their own mind. Their own mind has taken them into that swamp. They can't get out of it.
What about negativity? Isn't that a form of depression?
No, I think negativity can lead us to the truth. I don't think the way average Americans do. A lot of Americans grew up on the power of positive thinking, but I think positive thinking is overrated. That's a thing of the 50s. It's like a Norman Vincent Peale thing, that if you think positively, good things will happen. Try that in the concentration camp.
Oh, I know. I understand.
Try the power of positive thinking when you're under shell fire in a foxhole in a war zone. See if that works.
Oh, I know what you mean.
So, in other words, I'm sort of a realist. I have a more, I would like to use the word Slavic sense of the world. I have a far more cynical view of the world than the average American. The average American lives in a dream world, and I don't live in that dream world. And I'm not saying, unfortunately, you know, I'll take my depression and my sense of reality over a lack, let's say, a vision of everything's perfect and not even a knowledge of what's going on in the real world. So I'm not complaining about it. I think that a person is, by nature, not a happy person. Where is it said that we're supposed to be happy every day? I mean, happiness is something great for children. Do you know adults who walk around who are happy all the time, other than idiot housewives in Marin County who are on medication or let's say smoking pot all day or drinking wine and burning fireplaces?
I agree with you, but just in terms of living, you know, when I was drinking and drugging, and I was a garbage head. I was a total garbage head. But
all right, so okay, hold on, stop. So did you get over your depression? What'd you use?
What I used was a lot of Eastern, like Chinese herbs. I went completely vitamins, herbs. And
yeah, right. So which vitamin? Did you find Dr. Hoffer's prescriptions for a massive doses of niacin, for example, to fight depression and schizophrenia?
I did. And
all right, I'm going to leave because I'm going to get into more of this. And I thank you for that first call. I got callers now on romantic love. No women, though, only men. They're the ones who found a Russian wife online. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. But he was a depressive, Frankie Lyman. She was shooting drugs. He was a needle case. Died at 2021, heroin overdose. What a great loss. I mean, he could have been president today, at least, or let's say mayor of Baltimore, something. He had a great career after the singing. Could have put on a suit, and they could have coached him. So how do you fight depression? Is God real? How do you know? What is romantic love? Is it real or self-delusion? What is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? Now, are these fair topics for talk radio when so many important, serious things are occurring? And we have so much to cover every day. Like, it's a classroom. A boring junior high school class in politics is not what I'm going to do. Now, they do say that it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. But I would say, almost sounding like the fool in Shakespeare, but the fool would say, it's better to have loved and met Dr. Faust than not to have met Dr. Faust at all. Now, most people don't know who Dr. Faust is, but that's quite a good quip for those of you who've ever read Shakespeare. Most people who've loved have met Dr. Faust, incidentally. That is pretty good. It is better to have loved and met Dr. Faust than not to have met Dr. Faust at all, because you won't know good and evil. Unless you meet Dr. Faust, how can you know evil? You know Dr. Faust? It's F-A-U-S-T, not Fawcett. This is the problem. There's so many people who are illiterate in America and don't speak the language. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No, we all got along in those days. I don't know. There's not like knifings in those days, nothing. I carried a .22 caliber Mossberg. I never ran through the halls and shot anyone. Today, I don't know. The kids kill each other with a paperclip. So here we are on the program. It's sort of like in one of my old wacky days. How do you fight depression? Is God real? What is romantic love? Is it self-delusion? What is the biggest mistake you ever made in your life? To me, it's more interesting than the politics. I look at the candidates for the Republican team, and I just had a laugh during a break. I was saying, you know, if I really wanted to do a scathing, funny segment, it would be, let's look at all the candidates on the Republican side and ask them which one of my advertisers' products should they advertise. I mean, it's a given with Carson, he should do MyPillow, because that is the best pillow in the world. I mean, I'm the lightest sleeper on earth. Carson looks like he got a truckload of them, and he tests it out 24 hours a day. This guy looks like he's sleeping while he's talking. Now, I can't say the same for the other candidates, because I don't know all my advertisers offhand. Definitely Donald Trump has to do Swiss America, because he's definitely the gold standard. But, you know, you go down the list. I mean, I don't have any ice cream advertisers, so Rubio's out. I would need an ice cream advertiser for Rubio. Cruz, I have no idea what product to associate him with. My blank.com, mean. See, I told you he was too, I can't explain it. I knew he wouldn't make it. I just knew it. Good ideas, smart man, like him. He'd make a better president than any Democrat. But, likability factor, less than zero. He's not likable. Just hard. There's something. I don't know. Weasley comes to mind. And I'm not saying he is. You see, the medium is the message. Looks say it all. You know what I'm saying? Just doesn't have it. That's all. Chemical exposure linked to rising diabetes and obesity. I put on 10 pounds last month. Let me see if this is the reason. Medical press. Emerging evidence ties endocrine disrupting chemical exposure to diabetes and obesity, according to Endocrine Society. And now we go down the list to the chemicals. You've heard of them all. Bisphenol A, BPA, found in food can linings. Well, let's see. I don't eat canned food. Cash register receipts. Why, darn it, that's why I gained 10 pounds in the last month. Every time I check out at the supermarket, she says, do you want a receipt? And I'm one of those guys that say, yeah, I want it, and I touch it. I knew there was an explanation for why I put on all this weight. How do you like that? So I'll say no from now on. And I may immediately lose 10 pounds next month just by not touching my cash register receipt. Stupid morons. Propaganda. Good God. Plastics, cosmetics. In other words, everything we use is bad. If you lived around the campfire somewhere, like a Neolithic throwback, then the left would be happy. You'd finally be reduced to a perfect person. Published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology. I'm surprised they haven't tied it into global warming. Because every scientist today has to be a Lysenko, a mini Lysenko. And they have to prove that everything is related to global warming, including weight gain. Well, it's true, actually, when you think about it. If it was getting colder, you'd lose weight because you'd burn more calories shivering. But since it's getting warmer as a result of Al Gore and global warming, you're gaining weight because your metabolism is slowing down. So I think this is a very pressing issue on the earth. There's no question about it. WABC Rob, which topic are you calling about? What's your topic today, Rob?
Topic is romance, and I think it ties well into almost all the topics that you brought up today. I think it is a self-delusion of grandeur. And I believe that because just like every filter we put up, love actually is not more, it's less. It's the joy of less. When we're in love, in romantic love, you focus on one thing, and it's a relief because everything else around you peels away, and you can give it all to one person. Of course, they call it head over heels for a reason because you're off balance, and when reality strikes, very rarely does that kind of love go for a lifetime. And then, you know, you're a mess. But I think...
I take it you've been through three to four marriages?
No. I got married late in life. I got married at 50. I actually have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and I'm 50.
Wait a minute. You're one of the old guys with a ponytail that I see in restaurants changing diapers on the table while I'm eating?
No, I got all that stuff out of my system when I was single. I was an extreme guy and all that. I pretty much settled down and went into the fatherly family mode. I'm like a dad and a granddad all at once, you know?
You know, it's funny. I have another friend who became a father at 50. He's the happiest man I know because he's not facing any of the problems that most older men have in that he's totally wrapped up in being a father, and he loves it. Loves it to death. Soccer, karate, vacation. I mean, loves the children, lives for them.
That's exactly the two things I'm doing with my kids.
And the fact of the matter is children focus us in a way that people without children can never know. Never. They do take us out of ourselves. And by the way, children can take you out of depression if you're strong enough to fight your own ego and put children ahead of yourself. In fact, that's how God set it up, isn't it? Don't you think God set it up that we're supposed to live for our children rather than living for ourselves? Something in San Francisco's never learned.
Yep, I agree. And I think that...
All right, well, no, there. So wait a minute. You're how old now? 62?
No, I'm 50 right now.
I mean, when did you get married?
Oh, I got married 41 years old, 42 years old, and then, you know, right away, I didn't want to waste any time. I know I met the right woman.
Well, was she a Russian bride online or a regular person?
Both. Better than that. She was someone I was introduced to at a birthday party I didn't want to go to because I had a big breakup with someone, and I was very down.
I mean, I love these guys. I hear stories through third parties of someone who's dating a Russian woman he met online, and he's happier than he's ever been in his life. I said, how long has it been? A month. I said, really? Tell me when a cousin's move in the house that he's still happy. Tell me when they find him bludgeoned to death and his bank account sacked that he's still happy. What, are you crazy?
Yeah, no. This is, it's an Albanian girl. She's from a real farm. I mean, talk about the...
Wait. But you met her online, an Albanian online?
No. I met her through a friend of ours who was taking care of some girls, and this girl was a nanny. And
Whoa. What do you mean by, hold it, taking care of some girls? Is this borderline, this conversation, or not?
No. I mean, like a nanny, you know, working.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've heard a lot of nanny stories that didn't work out too well for the wife or the husband.
Well, this one seems to be working.
Well, she was your nanny? No. She was someone else's nanny.
Yeah, she was someone else's nanny. Yeah.
Are you a fan of The Sopranos? Did you ever watch that series when it was on?
I've caught a couple episodes. I mean, I'm from an area in New Jersey.
Did you see the episode with the Albanian girl who goes to work for Artie's restaurant and winds up working with the mafia to steal his credit cards, and then she robs Artie?
Yeah, well, the Albanians get a bad rap from a couple movies that were out, but there are a lot of...
They were sure picked on by Tony Soprano. I wonder if it was an accidental death or a heart attack. No one really knows.
Well, they say they took over a lot of the family business in the area, so, you know, they're pretty tough. So,
And by the way, now a new series with this Ray Donovan, they're picking on Armenians all of a sudden. I never knew there was an Armenian mafia till I watched Ray Donovan.
Liam Neeson,
do you watch Ray Donovan at all?
No, I don't.
All right, thanks for the call. No, the latest one is Ray Donovan, Armenian mafia all of a sudden. I never heard of it. To me, I never met an Armenian either. They were nice people. One was a governor once, and a friend of mine from L.A. said, because he's from California, I wasn't originally, as you can tell, I wasn't born in Fresno. But the fact of the matter is, he said to me, anyone whose name ends in an IA and is Armenian, it generally turns out to be true. I never met an Armenian. He wasn't a nice person ever in my whole life. I don't know why they're picking on Armenians in Ray Donovan, an Armenian mafia. And the woman who's like the head of the Armenian mafia family in that Ray Donovan in the catering hall. Whoa, what a witch. What an actress she is till she gets the throat slashed by the John Voight character. What a horrible scene that was. It was so horrible I had to watch it again last night. I don't even know if it explains my mood today. I was like in one of those television moods. Something funny happened last night on the way to bed, and that was this. I'll tell you what happened. Well, I won't even bother you with the boredom, and I went to the best Chinese restaurant that I hadn't been to for years, and I went back, and I ate their sauce, which I love, because I wanted it for the throat, and it's so elevated, because I was drinking a tea with vodka in it, because I didn't want any cold beer. I would order the tea, and I have a little, little bottles, airline bottles, because they don't sell it, and I would, pour it into the tea. So I had 6 cups of tea with vodka. It doesn't add up to a lot of vodka, by the way, maybe 2 ounces, 2 bottles. But the food was so great, I couldn't sleep. So I watched 2 hours of World War I history, how the world came apart. You see men in the trenches. You see 200,000 Canadians being killed in a week. That's 200,000 men, their husbands and their sons, butchered because of the psychotic old generals who, no matter what the men said, don't make us go into the machine guns of German lines, the generals would force them into the machine guns. Do you know that they shot 500 Allies troops? 500 French troops were shot by the French army because they wouldn't climb the ladders and go into machine gun fire? Do you know how the world has changed? Do you have any idea how lucky we are to be living in a time like this? I thought to myself as I sat watching in absolute horror. I couldn't believe men would live under such conditions, sleeping in mud. I couldn't believe my eyes. I had sympathy for the poor mules dragging the artillery and the men. I said, how could anyone live through that misery? Then I watched The Last Days of Hitler. That was a treat. It's always good to see The Last Days of Hitler, not The First Days of Hitler. And The Last Days was quite, I've seen it before, but it's always good. The reason I like to watch World War II is I know who the good guys were, us. I know who the bad guys were, Hitler and the Germans. I know who wins, the good guys. I know who loses, the bad guys. So it's a story I like to watch over and over again. And of course, we knew who our president was. And although he was a devout socialist liberal FDR, he was definitely an American from an American family who had a real love for this country. A great time. Something so different from today, isn't it? And he was a great war leader, by the way. Isn't that true? Now, many of you are calling about depression. And it's 45 minutes after the hour. It's very interesting. We had a caller on love because it was one of my questions. And some of you calling on depression. I have said before that each of us in talk radio attracts our own unique audience. And, of course, then there's overflow. There are people who listen all day long, in and out, Rush, Savage, others who are unknown completely to the media, copycats, people who came along 20 years after me and copied everything I did and then put me down every day just as a part of their show. But we dismiss those people. They're called, wannabes. But you have overlap between all the audiences, and then you have single audiences that listen only to the individual. Some of you only listen to Rush Limbaugh. How's that possible if you're listening to me? Well, you're the overlap. Then there are people who listen only to me and listen to nobody else. They say, oh, this guy's the greatest. I only listen to him. And I have a unique audience, and I'm pretty sure that most of you are depressives. And I'm not putting anyone down. There's no curse in being a depressive. I think people are agitated, they're perplexed, and they're somewhat miserable. And somehow in me, they sense a guy who can climb out of it and fly at a high altitude, and they wonder how I do it. Like, what is this guy? How does he do it? How is he able to do it despite all of the horrors of the world? He sees it. I hear him. He has a greater analytical mind than anybody in the history of the media. And I agree with him because once he punctures through it, he's right. But yet if he sees all of that, how does he do it? What keeps him going? What impels him? What's his secret? I mean, I think there's a little of that in it. And we'll continue our little dialogue on how do you fight depression without medication. Is God real? How do you know? What is romantic love? Is it real or self-delusion? But no one's called on this one. Oh, I got one. What is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you now regret, that you wish you could undo? You know, I can't even answer that myself. I wrote that down just before the show because I wasn't going to do the politics thing, which I did at the beginning. I don't really know what I did that I wouldn't do again. I guess how can you measure which thing you did wrong that was the worst thing you ever did? Can you figure that out? I like people, you know, I used to hear this when I was younger. Oh, I have no regrets. What do you have no regrets? What kind of idiot would say that? I just said it. I'm asking you the question, though, the audience. I can't even think of a regret, but I met people when I was like younger. It used to be a big thing where guys would say, well, I've lived a long life and I've made many mistakes, but I have no regrets. What do you mean you have no regrets? Why not? What, everything you did, you're glad you didn't? You would do it all over again? You must have done something that you wish you didn't do. Something. I'll be right back. Think about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It's a crazy day at the Savage Nation. I have eschewed politics for the moment. Intermittently, you know, the race I could care less about right now. But the thing is, you know, lifestyle is my middle name. Lifestyle questions are wonderful, and I think they're interesting and entertaining. And I think people want to get it off their chests a little bit. I wouldn't say every day. And we're doing lifestyle. How do you fight depression? Is God real? What is romantic love? What is the biggest mistake you've ever made that you regret? KSFO John, biggest mistake you ever made. Go ahead, please.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. The biggest mistake I've ever made was smoking marijuana when I was 17, and I probably spent 20 years of wasting my life away. And if that was anything I could change, that would be it.
I think that's the most important call of the day. I, too, would say to anyone listening that marijuana was the biggest mistake ever made in my life. A guy named Howie Mambo turned me on to a joint in the Catskill Mountains when I was 17, and my life forever changed, and I wouldn't say for the better. It did open me up to certain views and viewpoints. But I look back, I'm editing my journals right now from 66 to 69. I could see page after page of garbage, depression, sadness, stupid poetry. Goes on and on. Every time I smoked the joint, I wrote idiocy. It was only when I got rid of marijuana when I was very young that I was able to focus and put my brain to good use. And of course, you know that the society is pushing children into medication, especially marijuana, in order to control them. You agree with that, don't you?
I do agree, Michael. I see that.
We're out of time. Biggest mistake in the world, marijuana.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
That was a tough course. Trigonometry was harder than geometry, but here we are. We're talking about odd stuff today. I did 3 minutes of politics and 57 minutes of lifestyle in the last hour. Read my headlines, which is, we talk about how do you fight depression without medication. Is God real? How do you know? What is romantic love? Is it real or self-delusion? Or what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? Now, I mean, I could do Kerry, I could do Putin, I could do, you know, Planned Parenthood. Should we fund it or unfund it? I'll leave that to those who do that best. I don't do it best. I mean, you want to talk about it with someone else. Maybe another day I'll get back into politics. Syria, this and then that. Who cares right now? I'd rather do lifestyle. We live in a free country with free ideas. And truthfully, as long as we're not at war in this country, most of us don't even think about what's going on truthfully in the rest of the world. I've done it Monday and I did it every day last week. I want a break from it. I'd rather talk about lifestyle, and I know you would too. So we're talking about various things, love and this, and is it real or a delusion? I don't know. You know, things come back because usually for an older guy, the last time they were really in love was in high school or something along those lines. Or, you know, that's about it. was when they were young, very young. Who remembers love from that period of time? And I remember looking back, now that I think about it, we were all told by older men, like men who would talk to us about this stuff, like fathers. Guys, listen to me. If you want to know what your girlfriend's going to look like, if you're thinking of marrying her, look at her mother. As a result of that, half the guys I knew became gay. No, I mean, it's really true. It's a fact of reality. So you don't really know what to do. I mean, everyone changes. What do you think you look like compared to what you looked like when you're 18? What do you think, you're a bargain? Have you looked in the mirror recently? You guys are saying, oh, look what happened to that one. Look what happened to that one. What about you? Have you looked in the mirror recently and see what you look like? Time and gravity is no friend to the human body. That's all I can tell you. So there's a way through it all, I suppose, and my answer is a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And there's got to be a little bit of humor in it, or you're not going to get through life. I can tell you that right now. Otherwise, you wind up looking like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. You got to be able to laugh at yourself, too. And you know Barry can't do that. You know that Hillary can't do that. I mean, that's one of the reasons they're hated. You look at Obama, and you know that this man is so in love with himself, he could never hate himself. He could never say, did I do something wrong? And that's one of the reasons he's despised. You look at Hillary, and you know there's a woman who's a maniac who could never, ever doubt herself. Never. And that's why they're so dangerous. People who never, ever question themselves, let alone doubt themselves, can be very dangerous for themselves and the world. And it goes back to what I was saying last night. I was watching the history of World War I for two straight hours, and you see these crazy generals, French generals, British generals, who drove their men into the German machine guns day in and day out, knowing that most of them would die, and the men wouldn't go, and they shot... 500 of their own men were shot in the back, executed because they wouldn't climb the ladder to their instant death. And they would, no matter what they were told by the men or by lower command in the command structure, they would send the boys over the ladders into German machine guns and they would all die. It's unbelievable to me. Why? Because of the ego, the unchecked ego of the generals, for example. Now, we have something opposite to that in our country. We have no generals left who would ever tell their men to do anything. They're all, how shall I put it, most of the generals who are left in this military under the psychotic running the country and the military, a goodly percentage of them, most of them, it's hard to even know anymore, are incapable of leading men into battle. They don't even know what a battle is. They don't know who the enemy is. They have no idea who the enemy is. How could they lead men into battle? So let's go back to the questions. And I think one of the questions that I find most interesting is, what is the biggest mistake you, the listener, may have made in your life that you now regret, that you wish you could undo? In the last hour, a man called and said smoking marijuana at age 17 made him waste 20 years of his life, and I concurred with him. And it made me think that was the biggest mistake in my life. I thought I was a great, insightful genius when I was smoking pot. Well, you're not a genius. Usually a deluded fool. What you're going to do is look at your own writing or your own painting, and you'll see how bad marijuana is for you. WMAL, Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation. I got to hit the right number here. Let me put on the old, okay, line number 8, Richard, WMAL, what's the biggest mistake you ever made?
1987, well, first of all, hello, 1987.
Hello, yeah, right, I'm make-believe I'm a normal American. Hello, how are you? Glad you called. You're wonderful. I'm the greatest. I'm glad you listened to me for 400 years. Thank God for calling, and how are you, and what do you hear from your mother, and I'm glad you called, and you're a regular, and thank God you know I'm a genius. What's on your mind?
Okay, 1987, I'm 19 years old. I'm in the Air Force. I work on the flight line on fighter aircraft, and... I bought this car off the used car lot, and it was a nightmare. And I never stole anything, and, you know, I was raised in a strict family, and without going into too much detail, this car drove me nuts. And you know what a T-top is?
Yes. Like yes, I remember them. They were pretty ugly.
Yeah, well, this car, the roof flew off in an intersection. Now, I tried high and low to buy one, and...
What, so your biggest mistake is buying a T-top or what?
The T-top, because it flew off and I...
Oh, wait, sir, we got to speed it up. Your biggest mistake in life was buying a bad car?
Well, let me get... I'm almost to the end of the mistake.
I know, but I'm have a migraine already on the right side of my head clamping because we got to speed it up. Tell us the problem. Biggest mistake.
Air Force.
All right, thanks for the call. I don't know. Now already the topic, the show is going to go in another direction. This keeps up. One more call. like that, and I'm going to do regular politics. I may not recover from another call. I got a migraine on the right side of my head. Now, it could be the bad Chinese food I ate for lunch. It could be the sauce. I don't know, but what was a T-top? That's the worst thing the guy ever did in his life was buy a T-top? Okay. Let's go to Josephine. Maybe a woman can save the show. Josephine, KKOB Radio, welcome to the program. Biggest mistake you ever made in your life or what? What's your topic?
Oh, hi, Michael. My topic is God real? And he is real. And what happened was in March of 2002, I was widowed, and I was very young. And my husband was an EMT, and he was shot in the head. And
He was shot while tending to a patient?
Yes, sir.
One of the animals he was treating shot him?
Yes, sir. He responded to a call. This bipolar man. He lit his girlfriend's house on fire because he knows.
Right. It's the same with the police. They go to bipolar people, and the cop gets in a shootout, and the cop gets killed. Then they blame the cop for going there.
Well, my husband was an EMT, sir, and so.
No, I heard that. So tell me how you know God is real. After your husband was shot, what happened?
Okay, the first month, of course, you know, you go through that depression, right? You're in shock, and your whole world is upside down. So about a month later, I woke up on a Saturday morning, just a regular Saturday morning. I walked into the living room. I turned on the TV, and I said, oh, no, I can't do this. You know, I can't go back to life as what it used to be. So I turned off the television. I got on my knees, and I prayed. And I prayed to God, and while I was in prayer, Michael, okay, he gave me a vision, okay? I was wide awake on my knees, and I saw the glory of God, okay, that white, white light. Then I saw my spirit, my soul, okay? And then two angels came, one on my left and one on my right. And the angels, they have the same shape, and they look like humans, but they're spirits. And they had hair and eyes and ears, everything. But they had a little cloth around their waist.
All right, wait, so I'm not knocking it, and I'm not mocking you. The truth is, I've heard from people who believe in this. What about those of us who've tried to pray and nothing came back?
Michael, I don't know how God works and how he answers people, but I'm telling you the truth. And if
I've been in synagogues, I've been in churches, I've asked God to talk to me, I can't find him.
Michael, God is real. And listen, so after that happened, okay?
No, I hear you, but I'm saying most people pray and nothing happens. They go through the motions, they don't want to ever go back. Kids try it in churches, it's like mumbo jumbo to them. Jews go into synagogues every day, they do everything right, and there's no God. Or they go home and the gas gets turned on and kills five children over a holiday. They're not supposed to touch the gas, and they say it's God's will. I don't know. I sometimes can't believe this stuff.
Hey, let me tell you something else real quick, Michael. I bought a picture of a church at a thrift store.
Okay. Listen, I hear you're a true believer, and I respect that, and I thank you for calling. But most Americans have had trouble finding God, which is why the churches are emptied out, which is why the Pope came here on a sales trip. He had to bring in people from the South who will fill the pews. They don't have any trouble, apparently. They go through the rituals, and they know God exists, so he needs them in there, not the non-believer. That's all. Next case, move on. I think I've run through this topic already, because I feel my energy failing me. It's fading. It's fading on me. I feel it like going. And if I'm already getting bored of these topics, you are. So now I have to go to all the sound I have in the news. What a mess. What a mess. Look at this story I just found during the break. I read during the... She started telling about angels. My eyes went to this story. J.P. Morgan financing Los Angeles mansion starting at $115 million. Now, you'd say God exists for these people, for sure, because there's no other explanation for this kind of wealth. A development team that includes real estate investment arm J.P. Morgan is offering the ultra-wealthy a rare opportunity to build mansions bigger than the White House on a hillside overlooking Los Angeles, starting price $115 million. Junius Real Estate acquired an 11-acre site near the Hotel Bel Air a year ago, preparing for three estates. First lot will go on the market Tuesday. There's a shortage of trophy properties that are available for sale in the pocket of Los Angeles. You've got high net worth people who want to own multiple homes across the world, and Los Angeles offers something different. If you want to drive your convertible car 12 months a year, it's a city where you can do that. Well, that's really, hey, that's a reason to live, isn't it, Robert? That really shows high intellect there. I'm living in L.A. because I drive a convertible car 12 months a year, you schmuck. Homes priced, it just shows, this story proves one thing, that the rich are no different than the average person, they just have money. Homes priced at more than $100 million are becoming increasingly common as billionaires seeking palaces to put, places to put cash, shatter sales records from Los Angeles to London. Around the world, five properties sold for $100 million or more last year, and at least 23 others have nine figures asking price, blah, 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 blah. Eight bedroom, 15 bathroom. How big a house do you need? I really don't understand that. I'm not going to get into it because I try to keep some of my personal life to myself. I have several different properties. But you know the house I live in is about 2,000 square feet? I call it my loft. It's basic. It's like a little tiny house. And it's small. And I have no real electronic controls in it. I have light switches. I cannot stand houses that are run electronically. They drive me insane. I don't like to have to go get my eyeglasses to turn a light bulb on or to get a glass of water. I don't know about you. But apparently, the modern, all the great houses have that in them. An iPad, you walk around the house, you could turn on and off the air conditioning, the burglar alarm, a light, a sink, a radio, a television. It's very nice. But there's something comforting about getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and without having to look, knowing where the light switch is to the bathroom, without having to get glasses or a magnifying glass. I like simple. Simple is good. So I have a 2,000 square foot house in which I broadcast some of the time. I do everything else in it. I mean, one little house, I call it my loft. If you came in it, you wouldn't see it as a house, though. It looks like a workspace. Every inch of the house is given over to work or sleep or other bodily functions. And the radio kitchen is not too far from the microphone. The radio stove is not. You can even hear me cooking sometimes during a break. Well, you can't because the ads are running. But the staff can hear me turning on and off refrigerators and light bulbs. And so I don't know. How big a house do you really need? That's not for me to tell you what you want. Does it make you happier? Do you think having a $115 million house would make you happier? The answer resoundingly is probably, I don't know. If you're Ben Carson, I mean, if you're falling asleep in one bed in your bedroom, would you really know if you have 15 other bedrooms to fall asleep in? It's the Savage Nation back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Look, we have breaking news on the show in the midst of all of this lifestyle stuff. It came as a shock to me. I just got it a minute ago, and it only came out within the last 30 minutes. But I feel obligated to tell you this news. You know, I am syndicated by the greatest syndicator in America, which is Cumulus Media Networks. And they renewed my contract after I had such a terrible situation with my last syndicator. And as you know what happened with my last syndicator. It took me a fortune to get myself free of them, the last one. And the other ones never paid me a dime of what they owe me, that the court said they owe me. They're hiding. But we'll get it. So I have great respect for Cumulus Media. I just read this. I almost fell out of my chair. Headline, Dickey Brothers out at radio giant Cumulus amid board shakeup. A shock. Because I knew both Lou and John Dickey. I wouldn't say I knew them as friends, but I knew them as business associates. And I have nothing but the highest regard for both of these men. And all I can say is, you know, when I was in New York a month ago and broadcasting live from WABC, I had heard there was a board meeting on the same floor as the studio in which I was broadcasting. And given that I'm not a shy person, I sent Lou and John an email saying, hey, guys, do you know I'm 15 feet away from you? Stop it on the way out and say hello. And I was honored, frankly, that Lou Dickey came in and watched my show for 15 minutes. And I think he's always enjoyed my radio broadcasts. And he said nice things, and he left after a break. And it says, here's the headline. It just came out of New York Post. I'm shocked right now. Cumulus Media CEO Lou Dickey and his brother, the number two executive of the radio giant, stepped down from the Atlanta company on Tuesday following a board shakeup, several sources confirmed to the New York Post. The company, which owns syndication outfit Westwood One and operates 460 stations in 90 U.S. markets. Wow, this is awful. This is just awful. And all I can say is two of the finest men I have ever met are Lou and John Dickey, and I wish them the best, whatever they may choose to do in the near future. What a shock. What a shock. I'll be back with more breaking news and lifestyle right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I'm looking at the stories I've been doing today, my lifestyle stuff. I have a fifth sense, and I knew that I'd want to do news today because the news I just read you is the biggest news in the radio business. Look what I've been talking about. How do you fight depression without medication? Is God real? How do you know? Now, what is romantic love? Is it real? It has nothing to do with it. But the last one is, what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? And now I read that the whole radio business is somewhat just had a cataclysm. This is like earth and upheaval in radio. Do you know that? I don't know any more about it than what I read in the New York Post, and I know who the new CEO is, and I wish her the best in managing the radio business. But good God, this is a cataclysm, what just happened. Now, I can't open this up to calls because what can we say that we... What's there to say? What is there to say? God only knows what's coming in radio. You know, people say, well, radio is dead. And the others say, no, it's one of the most influential listen-to mediums in the world. And it is. All data will indicate, no matter what people say about the internet or streaming or the future, and it may be, that right now radio is the most influential of all outlets in terms of people listening and receiving information. It also has one, perhaps the largest audience overall. It's not gone down. You may think it has, but it really hasn't. And I'm proud to be in radio for 21 years. It's been quite a ride, and I hope I'm in it for another few years. I'm sure I will be. As long as there's radio and I have a voice, I'll be on the air one place or another. But this is a cataclysm in the radio business, and it demarks a very big change in direction for the entire industry in ways we probably can't even imagine. So I have nothing to add to this discussion. And I don't think it's worth talking about because it's only going to be speculation as to where radio is going to go, what radio should do to become more, what shall I say, more competitive? How much more competitive can it be? Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Which way should radio go? It's something that we in radio... You know, radio is bigger than talk radio. There's country music, there's sports radio, there's news, right? And having been in the business for 21 years, I would say that I know as much about radio as anybody in the business. That includes anybody. I don't care how big the CEO is. I know radio as well as anybody. There was a time that I was on a local station, KSFO in San Francisco, which still takes my show, by the way, where my ratings are great. There was a time when I began in 1994, 5, 6, in those days, I was beating the competitor, which was an all-new station. I was in drive time in the afternoon. Many of you listen. I was beating KCBS on a daily basis. I was beating them. People liked my show better than all news. They loved opinion. That's not true anymore. Things have changed, and I don't know why. I don't know the dynamics of why. But I'm still doing very well. You look at some of the stations I'm on, the ratings are great. You look at WMAL in Washington. My show is unbelievable with a 4 share. That's enormous for talk radio today. So I don't want to talk more about this. I don't know anything about where radio is going to go, where it should go to maintain more viability. All I know is that something happened today that's going to shake up the industry. That's all I can tell you. And I think that anyone in talk radio who doesn't have a long-term contract ought to be looking for a web television show, because those days are over. Unbelievable to me. So you want to go back to what I was doing, or you want to just do news? You want to talk about, is God real, depression, romantic love? Let's do some of those things on the show, including romantic love. I think that's a great topic, because is romantic love real, or is it self-delusion? Is a fascinating topic, because... Is there a person listening to this show who has never been in love? Children can feel love. And as I said, we're very limited in the English language because we have only one verb, Teddy. I'm talking to my dog now, staring at me. We have only one verb for love in English. I love my mother. I love my pizza. Oh, I love my new shoes. I love my dog. I love my girlfriend. Now, if you have only one, Robert's laughing and he's got hot coffee in his mouth and he just went to his wedding rehearsal. Sorry, Robert. No, the truth is we're stuck. We have to use inflection to describe what kind of love we're talking about, while Latin has 16 different verbs for love. We're limited in our love. I don't know what the Chinese language has to do with love. I would assume, is there a word for love in the Arabic, or it doesn't exist? Or is it only I hate and I kill? I don't know. I haven't studied Arabic. I really don't know. No good. Russian must have love in it, because there have been romantic novels, but basically it's everything is dark and bleak. No good, not good, nothing good. World is black, no good. Not good, bad day. No good, not good. But Italian, everything is good in the Italian language. Good, bueno, buono, bueno. Everything is good, better, very good, not very, excellent, better than good. Bueno, buono, bella. It has to do with the people, too. Russian, no good, black, no good, horrible, dismal. World come, no good. Potato skins, everything bad. So let's go to the callers. Daniel, line 3, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, romance and love. I 2 years ago, I was just wandering along. I'm over 60, and I met a young lady, and God, she just gave me renewed spirit, something in me, myself. But there was something beautiful in her, and it just inspires me, and it's given me like a new beginning.
How old are you, Daniel?
Over 60, sir.
And how old is she?
30.
Well, all right. Not another Russian bride, is it?
Pointed that out to her. I said I could...
No, but I'm saying, but Daniel, is she another Russian bride that you met online?
No. She's half black, he's half white. She's a wonderful human being.
And you don't think the age difference has anything to do with it, or you say that it has everything to do with it?
I don't know. As we're going along, we keep adjusting. I mean, you know, people stereotype us, but that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother her. We smell the flowers. We talk about your dog, Teddy. It takes me away from the ugly stuff that we...
Yes. How long have you been together, Daniel?
Over 2 years.
Oh, well, that's a pretty long time. Most marriages don't last 2 years today, so I'd say you're pretty much out of the woods.
Yes.
I acknowledge that. 2 years is a long time. Are you living together?
No, not yet.
I'll tell you that, you know, that helps too. You know, living day to day with someone is a real test, Daniel. You know, you've been married before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so I don't have to tell you anything. You're an old pro at this. But, you know, you live with someone. It's a different story, isn't it?
Yeah, we've lived together for a few months. She goes back to mom. She's got younger sisters. So, you know, we both have responsibilities, but we're dealing with life on a daily basis. And we keep...
Yeah, but one toothbrushing and a spitting in the sink can end the romance if you're not careful.
Everything's here. Living, everything is, you know...
You're laughing. I'm not kidding you. I mean, reality is reality. I hate it when movies became so real that I stopped watching the movies. There was a time in the 80s that all of a sudden, every movie, they showed people brushing their teeth and spitting in the sink like I cared about it. What did they do that for?
I don't know. I haven't...
It was crazy. How did that enter the movies? Like, ugh. To this day, if I'm watching an 80s movie and I see that scene, I turn the movie off. I can't stand it. Okay, well, so the bottom line is you called on my challenge. Is romantic love real or self-delusion? You're saying it's real.
Absolutely.
All right. That's all. There's a man who's in love and he's happy. Here's one coming up now. Biggest mistake he ever made in his life. None of these calls are prompted. None of these are scripted. Everyone is on the natch on the Savage Nation, which is why I've survived 21 years. Either it's natural and real or it's not going to make it. Bradley, WVNN in Alabama. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Looking at pornography. That's the worst thing that I've ever done in my life.
You did it once or you did it many times?
Oh, I've done it many times, and it's a constant struggle that I have daily. You know, your eyes cannot unsee anything. I try to tell my kids that daily, but your eyes can't unsee. So now you always got that vision in your head.
Now, are you married?
Oh, I am, yes.
Well, pornography is a scourge. I personally think it should be banned. I personally think America would be a better place if it was illegal.
Definitely.
In other words, pornography has existed since the early dawn of civilizations. There's always been pornographic imagery. And it's always been kept in the shadows for good reason. And because it's been mainstreamed in America, it has destroyed people's minds and marriages. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's starting from a young age.
Well, are you in therapy, pornography therapy for this, like a withdrawal?
No, not that bad. I guess my wife called me back a long time ago when we first got married, and she was, you know, knew I had an issue, and she worked through me with that, but that's something that she struggled with daily.
Yeah, but of course it affects her life. It affects her life as well, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't anymore. I think I've got a
no, but wait. But do you still watch pornography?
No, I do not. Not at all.
Oh, you don't? Oh, so you kicked it.
Definitely so.
So how did you break your habit? I mean, that would be of interest to millions of people who are listening right now. How did you get rid of that scourge of pornography?
I have to fast. Take it away. Take everything that you have away that is able to allow you to do that.
Well, that means getting rid of the computers in your house, right?
Exactly. TVs, computers, everything.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because Muslims do not believe in graven images. That's very interesting. Religious Jews, Orthodox Jews, do not have televisions in their house, and they don't watch them. And I don't believe that they access computers in that way at all, because they know what it will do to their mind and to their marriages. And so maybe that is connected to what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. But you look at hotels today. A man is on the road as a salesman, right? And they made it so easy for a man to watch pornography, that, and no one knows about it, that they've changed the billing system a long time ago. So it doesn't say downloaded Debbie Does Dallas or whatever. It says, I don't know what it says, like a visit to the hotel or miscellaneous charge, right? So they can put it on a corporate account. This is even in the Marriott hotel chain, which is owned, and I respect them very much, by Mormon folks. The Marriott hotel chain. You could say that they're religious people. I mean, but if it's a cash cow, they certainly won't eliminate it. And this is where government regulation needs to come in. I mean, either there's vice or there isn't vice. Either you believe that certain things should be permitted in a sane society, a civilized society, there shouldn't be. You know, you can't say that a devout Muslim is wrong about everything, can you? When you take a look at our society melting down, you could sit here saying this and that about ISIS, and I think even most Muslims would agree that they're animals who need to be snuffed off the planet. But you can't wipe away all of their belief system and say they're wrong about everything. Well, what's wrong with wanting some life that's a little dignified? What's wrong with that? What is wrong with a life that has some dignity to it? A little more purity. I mean, what is there something wrong with that? I think most people would agree with it. Now, you name one candidate. I've watched all of these debates. Name one candidate who's talked about family values. The answer is none of them. Not even Donald Trump, by the way. It's the third rail of politics today. Has any of them gotten up and said that when I'm president, I'm going to restore family values in America? None of them dare take on all of these lobbies. Not one of them will say that one word about family values. Not one. Am I right, Robert? I don't know of one. Name one person who's talked about family values. The answer is zero. Why? Are family values that dead in America? Are the people who engage in leather parades the majority of America? Are those who whip each other in public, as happened in San Francisco this Sunday, at a so-called S&M parade, marching down the street in public, doing overt acts that would have put people into a mental hospital in my time? Are you telling me that's the way a society can thrive? I would argue to the opposite. I also said something on Monday that I will say again, now that I've gotten off on my high horse. I said that if this keeps up, Islam will rule the world, because there's only so much people will take. Do you understand that? So anyway, here we are. The phone number is what it is. The website's michaelsavage.com. I have not mentioned my new book, Government Zero, once, and I'm going to hold it off now for a little bit, maybe a week or two, until you can actually get a copy of it in your hand. I've told you all about it. You've seen how good it is. I'm not going to talk about it for 2 weeks, because it's not out until October 27th. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. 55 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation, hour number two is coming to a close on this day of radio news, September 29th already. It's almost, I see already the pumpkins on the, I see the pumpkins on the doorsteps of the houses. And they're getting ready for the pagan holiday of Halloween, the one that the kids all love. Well, we certainly are a pagan nation that loves these events. As the churches empty out, the pumpkin plants seem to pump themselves up. But I'm not that much of a religious guy. When my kids were young, I mean, they loved pumpkins. I remember once I said the same thing, and my son said, "Hey, Dad, give it a break. I loved Halloween. Get off it." So, if you love Halloween, enjoy Halloween. What can I tell you? It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We've talked about how do you treat depression without medication. Is God real? How do you know he exists? What is romantic love? Is it real? Or a self-delusion? And what is your biggest regret? Something that you would undo if you could. It's been quite a good 2 hours. If you care to join the conversation, I have another big hour across most of America right here on the Savage Nation. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. The big topics such as Assad, Syria, I did yesterday. I'm not going to do it every day. As far as the Republican candidates, I'm giving it a break. I am sort of so over it for a while. I can't take it anymore. You know, the election's over a year from now. Can you get back to me like next Labor Day? No, I'll touch on it again, but it's not going to be every day. And a lot of confluence this weekend. The Pope, the Blood Moons, Syria, Assad, Chinese, Russians, Iranians joining up together and outsmarting Obama. So something big is going to happen, and when it does, we'll talk about it. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation, hour number three. We're going to move away from the lifestyle question for a minute because we have breaking news that confirms beyond a reasonable doubt that this government is not fighting ISIS, number one, in fact, is supporting ISIS, number two, and is stabbing our allies in the back, number three. This came out minutes ago. The United States Army is giving armorless combat vehicles to our allies, our so-called allies, which makes riding in them tantamount to committing suicide. The article came out minutes ago, RPG Magnet, U.S. Army gives allies fighting ISIS vehicles with no armor. Dozens of MRAPs provided by the U.S. government to its Kurdish allies in Iraq are arriving without protective side armor, Fox News has learned, with one security contractor who works with the Kurds saying the missing armor makes riding in them tantamount to committing suicide. That tells us everything we needed to know. It also explains why Russia had to move in to fill the vacuum against ISIS, along with China and along with Iran, to stop the scourge of radical Islam. The only country that is not truly fighting radical Islam is the United States of America under President Obama, who will not even use the words radical and Islam in the same breath. This explains it all. We now go back to regular programming. 855-407-282. This is the Savage Nation. Did you hear that story? Is it any wonder people are wondering why the Russians moved into Syria to stop ISIS before they take over the whole Middle East and then the world? The United States is not only failing to stop most people trying to join ISIS, but the United States is sending vehicles to our allies who are fighting these animals without side armor, which makes riding in these MRAPs tantamount to committing suicide, according to experts in the military field, not the sorority who is running the United States military. Let's go to the callers. Matthew on KKOB. I believe that's in Jacksonville. Matthew, welcome to the program. You're calling on which topic?
God, sir. I'm calling saying that he's real. In Operation Conjar in 2009, a man went down, broke his tibia and his fibula, and so we had to get a British escort to get him out of there. And then as the chopper was leaving, the village that we were going into ended up shooting at the helicopter. And then we went in anyways, and we set up in an ambush, and they got us in an L shape. And funny thing was, just nobody got hurt that day. Everything was just, you know, it was just a safe day for our guys on that side on that day, you know. And then even
do you feel it was God who intervened to make it safe for you in Afghanistan that during that horrible day of combat? I mean, you think it was God?
Yes. I do believe.
Well, but you see, here's the thing that bothers me, Matthew, and I'm conflicted with the problem. How do you explain those guys who get killed in combat zones? Was that God as well?
I don't know what it is, but I know that from my experience, sometimes I don't know.
You know, it's an interesting statement that you make, and it's the only way for a person to live, which is to make it a personal experience. Because if you watch too many movies or watch the news and see the global picture, it's hard to believe in anything. And you have to make it a very personal experience and say, God worked for me and that's all I know, and make it and leave it at that. And I respect that and thank you. And that's the problem with me. It's almost the issue of, you know, when Eve ate of the apple of knowledge. Remember that biblical story? That when Eve took a bite from the apple of knowledge, it was all over. Very much that's the truth for all of us. I feel like Eve, when I watch documentary footage, for example, of World War I, and I see crazy generals sending thousands and thousands of men up out of the trenches into machine gun fire that killed most of them, I'm saying, where was God? And it makes you think that you just can't put two and two together. Or I think of the Holocaust. I think of World War II. I think of innocent Jewish men, women, and children being forcibly marched, worked to death, gassed to death. Where was God? You know, and it could overwhelm you, and you could become not only cynical, you could actually lose your bearings from those things. And in a way, it's probably best not to focus on those big pictures. But it's what the modern world is that we have access to imagery, we have access to knowledge. And you may say knowledge is power, or knowledge is also weakness. Now, I'm not arguing. I'm a trained scientist, for God's sakes. I have two really high-class earned master's degrees and a really high-class PhD, and I'm proud of it. No, I'm in favor of higher education, particularly in fields that matter, but I think that an overexposure to information, for example, can weaken a person. So what are we saying? Ignorance is bliss? I'll let you draw your own conclusion. You have to go through life in your own possible way. Let's go to the issue of, is love real or a self-illusion? What is that? Let's go to TJ and WMAC Radio. TJ, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Romantic love. I would say that it is real, that it is genuine. However, it's limited. It's fleeting. And that at some point, when it dissipates, when the chemicals go away, it becomes a choice where you are choosing to commit to this person you once had a romantic bond with.
Now, what do you mean it's chemical? What does that mean?
Well, honestly, I'm not, unlike you, I am not a trained scientist. So really, it's just a statement. I do know there's serotonin. I do know there are chemicals that are produced, at least for a limited time, whenever you come into contact with people you find attractive. I can't really speak any further than that. But I know at some point, I've been married for 4 years, and while I love my wife, I love her deeply. I love her in a sense that I choose to remain with her because of the person she is, not so much that I'm romantically, just romantically.
She certainly feels the same way, yes?
I would agree. Yeah, I would say that she would say she's, romantically in love, but I agree. Yes, sir.
And so once you become realistically attached to someone, as opposed to romantically attached to that individual, that's when the real hard work begins. Isn't that true?
I agree. Yes, sir.
So what place does romantic love have in our lives? I mean, we make decisions based on romantic love that are often wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I think wisdom really needs to play a strong
role. This borderlines another pasture of thought, and that is the arranged marriage. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, because I remember talking about it in the 1990s, but very religious people believe in arranged marriages. They say the chance for success is higher than in the random romantic arena. What would you say to that?
Actually, you know, if you look at it logically, in an arranged marriage, there still is this choice. Even if the, you know, one party or the other does not have a choice to belong to this person, there is a choice to say, I am going to love this man or this woman, to where this love blossoms and grows. And
it's interesting you should say that, because I once challenged a very religious man about this issue of arranged marriage. You know what their belief is? They say that you can learn to live someone, you can learn to love someone you're living with.
I would agree. I mean, I necessarily agree with arranged marriage, but I think that.
No, well, they practice it, these people, and they said, we learn to love the person that we are arranged to marry. It's astounding, isn't it? I mean, astounding to Americans who believe in free will when it comes to romance. And, I don't know who's right or wrong on that one, but that's their belief system. All right, that's an interesting call, and I think these are questions that are not talked about enough, frankly. And I think that in addition to the breaking news, which we're going to play on the show throughout this hour, my main questions are, is God real? How do you know? What is romantic love? Is it real or self-delusion? And what is the biggest mistake you've ever made in your life that you regret, that you wish you could undo? We've also covered how do you fight depression without medication. It's a topic I know an awful lot about, because I've dealt with it my whole life, my whole adult life. It's what probably propelled me into the field of human nutrition, propelled me to get higher degrees and research in the area of vitamins and nutrients, which I had studied for so many years, and I still do. It's kind of easy to keep up with the field, because with the internet today, you don't have to go to a medical library. I remember in the early days, I would have to get in a car, drive to San Francisco, park the car in a garage, walk up to the UC Medical Center library, and spend hours in the library going through medical journals. Well, because of the internet, I don't have to do that anymore. I can read the Journal of Neurology in my house. And if I have any questions, I call a neurologist who can explain it to me. But what I'm saying is, the internet is one of the greatest tools that was ever invented, you know, if you use it for knowledge. It's phenomenal. Unfortunately, if you're only reading tabloids, what are you gaining? Well, you're gaining titillation, but you're not gaining an awful lot of knowledge. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So everyone believes life will be a dream if they meet the right person, and for many people it's true, but for most people it's a cynical, there's a cynical ending. Here are the headlines we've talked about thus far. Obama moves to close the last United States uranium plant. How's that for a great war leader? How is that for a commander-in-chief? This is at the same time he gave Iran the ability to, let us say, use uranium. Putin warns Israel about targeting Iranian targets in Syria on the Golan Heights, or near the Golan Heights. Birth tourism is booming in California. The Chinese predominantly are coming over here to give birth and create an instant citizenship for themselves. Muslim father admits strangling his daughter because she stole condoms. Because of Obama, Putin is now the most influential leader. Almost everyone is saying that, who has a brain. Then we went on to the lifestyle questions. How do you fight depression without drugs? Is romantic love a delusion? What is the biggest mistake you've made in your life? And we're going to go to the callers. The biggest regret, B.O.B. Robert, what's your biggest regret?
1979, I got into my ex-girlfriend's car. We argued. I got out. She ran me over. Lost my leg. After that, heavy depression, drugs, alcohol. after that, on Christmas of 84, God came to me, said, I cannot help you unless you help yourself. Went back to school, met my wife, 6 kids later, 12 grandchildren, and there we go.
That's a heck of a statement you just made, and it's hard to take it all in at once. So your biggest mistake was getting in your girlfriend's car, and then the rest of your narrative seems to follow from there, leading us to believe that the religious people are right when they say that God and the devil exist on the same sphere.
Oh, yeah. So I got in the car.
No, but you hear what I'm just saying, meaning that had you not had that tragic occurrence, you wouldn't have been set on the road that led you to all of these great events in your life.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't call it a blessing, but it changed my life, and I didn't quit.
By the way, whatever happened to the girlfriend who ran you over?
She's in another state.
Is she working for Hillary Clinton's campaign, or...?
I don't know.
Is she running Planned Parenthood somewhere that we don't know about? Instead of running you over, she's just selling baby body parts? Well, we don't know what she's doing. All right, it's an interesting story, and there's tragedy and there's success in the same conversation. Here's one, KSFO. Dane, you have a regret. What is it? What's your biggest regret?
Taking my mom to a retirement center without her knowledge. When I got there, she wouldn't get out of the car, and I unleashed a most verbal, disgusting... rant on her that I never forgave myself for to say to her, and I just never...
Wait. Let me back up, Dane. You took your mother to a nursing home, and the day you were doing it, you cursed her out?
Well, she didn't know she was going there, and I took her in my car, and when I got there, she wouldn't get out of the car. And I got so frustrated and mad with her, I unleashed such a verbal rant on her that to this day I'm ashamed of what I said to her.
Oh, so you're looking back and you hate yourself for having said that to your mother.
Oh, it pains me till today.
Well, that's the thing. Most of us wish we could take back words that came out of our mouth at some point, and we can't. There are hurting words that stay out there like poisoned arrows. You can't take them back. You cannot take them back. I assume this was a long time ago, and she's since passed away.
Yes, I did.
And you never had a chance to make up with her and apologize while she was alive.
I called her from Hawaii and asked her for forgiveness. She gave it to me. She passed away a month later.
Yeah, but it's still you're ripped up over it. I mean, your guts are still torn over it, right?
Yeah, it was a thing I should have never done.
Well, but you can't help what you did then. Can you change the past by feeling bad about it? You can't. What can you do? It's like a child who's been hurt as a child. How long can he go on thinking about the past until eventually he has to live in the present? He's got to forget the injuries of the past. And I think you have to forget the injury that you caused in the past. It's the same thing. In other words, if a child was molested, let's say, by someone as a child, of course it's damaged the child for life. But you have to leave the past in the past and live in the present, or you're going to be forever inhibited in every which way in your life, as we all know. But it goes in the same way it goes for something we may have said years ago. What can you do about it? You have to make peace with it somehow, Dane. You apologized to your mother. She didn't accept it. You're sorry that you were such an idiot and said those things, and you feel like you've cursed yourself for the rest of your life. Well, you haven't. It happened. You're a human being. You freaked out. Let it go. I mean, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Well, it's one of the reasons I listen to you, Dr. Savage, because you're a wise man and a soul.
I'm a realist. I'm a realist. I made one mistake after another. I make them every day. I try not to. And what can I do? I have to get up the next day and start again. Each day is the sun. You know, the sun also rises. You have a fresh slate. Try to make the next day better than the day before. It sounds like a homily, but truthfully, it's all we've got is the next day. And the sun also rises. You can't live cursing yourself for something you said or did in the past, or else you're finished. It's too big a burden. Dane, I hope I've helped you by letting you talk about it. We'll come back to more of these lifestyle questions and all the breaking news right here on the Savage Nation. You know, this issue of Planned Parenthood, we know that the tapes are real. A forensic video expert analyzed the tapes, and although Nancy Pelosi said she has not seen them, she knows they're fake and they should be arrested. She's absolutely wrong and a liar. We know that. But the fact is, let's talk about abortion for 1 minute. And let's talk about which ethnic group has more babies aborted. It's a very, very sensitive topic. Black people comprise only 13% of the population of America, but account for 37% of all abortions. 69% of pregnancies among blacks are unintended, while that number is 54% among Hispanics and 40% of pregnancies among whites. Now, Planned Parenthood, which is the largest seller of abortions in the United States, has located 80% of its abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods. What does that tell you? Why are minority activists, the big mouths like Al Sharpton, who had shooting his foul, filthy mouth off about police causing riots and cities to burn, why doesn't that loudmouth say one word about Planned Parenthood setting up shop in minority neighborhoods? Because he's part of the same machine. Abortions by race. White, 34%. Black, 37%. Hispanic, 22%. Other, 8%. End of story. The day a black activist goes and marches with those opposed to Planned Parenthood is the day I'll take any of them seriously. The day Black Lives Matter sets up shop outside Planned Parenthood and says, get out of our neighborhoods, is the day I'll agree any one of those radical troublemakers really is in it for anyone but themselves. End of story. My opinion. Now let's go back to regular unprogramming. KBOI Radio. KBOI. What a signal that is. Michelle, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation. What's your biggest regret?
Hi, Michael. First of all, I don't know how I made it all these years without listening to you. I became a faithful listener last year.
Anyway, thank you. Well, obviously, you made it till then, so you could do without me if I... So what's on your mind?
I was caregiver for my elderly father, and he was... I'm in another state. I'm in Idaho, and he was from Arizona. And he became very ill here, and he wanted to go home. He wanted to go home. He kept begging me, take him home. Please don't let him die here. He wanted to be in his house, in his chair, listen to his records. And I kept saying, well, we'll give it a couple more weeks, and then, you know, I can give my notice. And he fell on the ice and wound up in the hospital and then was diagnosed with pneumonia and was dead within a week. So I feel as though I'll have guilt.
But wait, but what is your regret? What did you do or not do? I don't follow you.
I didn't take him home like he wanted. He didn't die in his home. He didn't die home. He died out of state.
Well, wait, back up for a minute. Where was he out of state? Where was he? He was in a nursing home?
No. I was his caregiver. He was in my house in Idaho.
And what is it that you regret that you didn't do? You're already devoting your life to taking care of your father, so what more could you have done?
I didn't take him home to Arizona so that he could be at home when he died.
All right, fine. What were you doing that you couldn't take him home? Tell me what you had to do instead.
I was working, and I was...
Thank you. You just absolved yourself of all sin. Don't you understand how good a person you are? You're the person who should least be guilty for what your father didn't have in his last days. You were giving him everything. You were working. You were taking care of him. He was living with you. You could not... See, in other words, if you gave up your living to take him to Arizona... That would have affected him more negatively. Obviously, you're not a wealthy person. You needed every penny you were making, right?
Just about, yes, sir.
So I think you need to absolve yourself of any guilt whatsoever. You're one of the finest people I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with on the air. How many people would take parents in today at all? Very few, unless they're, let's say, immigrants. The immigrants still take care of their parents to a certain extent, and I mean new immigrants, but... The older immigrants don't. They turn them over to a state care facility. You didn't do that.
No, never. Before my.
So I hope you understand what a good person you really are and that you have no guilt. In my opinion, you have no guilt. And I thank you for calling me. My mother passed away. She was living in a care facility. You know, well, I don't know what she wanted other than that, but she had to go there because no one could take care of her. She was very unhappy about it. Most people don't want to go to those places. And it wasn't a state-run one. It was private. It cost a lot of money. And the fact is that she passed away eventually because people get old and die. And not everyone has the pleasure of living to a ripe old age and turning over in bed and passing away in their sleep without a gigantic mess. I mean, it's just not the way it works. And it's kind of sad. Nobody wants to think about it. It's depressing. We want to look at fools on television marching around with bling in their teeth, acting like they're God Almighty. That's what we want to do. We want to look at arrogant fools on television who act like they're not part of the human condition. That helps us escape from the human condition. Loudmouths, show-offs, exhibitionists, uneducated dolts. That's American society. So, but there are other ways. I mean, you know, you don't have to be guilty over it. I don't know what my family will do with me eventually. They say, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. I remember how many times I've joked on this show over the years that you may think you're going to live. It used to be my favorite little shtick every few months. That you all think you're going to live to a ripe old age, and, you know, it's not the way it works. I said most of you will end up in a nursing home, completely incapacitated, staring at a curtain in the corner of a room, with an attendee beating you about the head and neck to not leave any marks, robbing you of any small change your children leave you. It's not so cynical, actually. It's what happens, unfortunately. But the thing is, who really knows? You have to write it up yourself. If you want something done for yourself when you're incapacitated, because people don't know what to do once you're sick. You can't even talk. So, you know, you have to pass. They write those things out. I know most people are young. They don't want to think about it. No one has to put their mind into that state of mind. But it's part of our life today, you know. With the socialized medicine that we now have in this country, and we've had long before Obama came along, the care is awesome, by the way. America has amazing facilities. And the amount of money being stolen in the medical profession is beyond comprehension. There's a scandal came out this morning that I've known about for years from a certain doctor in San Francisco who told me he wouldn't say who, and he said never mention it on the radio, he's afraid for his life. Let us say a certain immigrant population came in here 15 years ago, and they got into the ambulance business. He said it's the biggest thievery he's ever seen in his life. He said, I can't say a word. He said they fake ambulance rides, they triple bill, they take people on 100-mile rides that are really a mile long, and the government pays like idiots. I said, that sounds about like the homeland they left behind, that they sacked and burned to the ground. Well, now they're here for a new pickings. So it came out today, tens of billions of dollars stolen by ambulance companies. And Medicare doesn't know how to control it, you hear? That's your government at work. Now, that has nothing to do with related to what we're talking about, of course, but you can imagine if the ambulance companies are thieves, what's going on in the nursing homes? Wow, what a mess. The whole thing is a mess. How could one man straighten this out? You know, you often you ask yourself, can one person come along who's going to fix all of this? How much fixing can one person do in a country that's this wrecked? Most people can't fix a company, let alone a nation. Go try to fix a company that's not working. Then now try to apply it to a nation that has 10 million moving parts. He can't apply himself to the new leader to every broken pothole, can he? No. So, see, my view of it is a little different, is that if we have a legitimate leader who's not corrupt, who's a real leader, and who's honest and moral and inspirational, things fix themselves up from the top down. But when you have someone as incompetent and as corrupt as Obama, everything breaks down from the top to the bottom. There's an old saying that that a fish rots from the head down. And this country is rotting down to the local level. You go to little towns in Marin County, the streets are broken. They're taking in hundreds of millions of dollars a year in property taxes, robbing the money for pensions, and they won't fill a pothole. Go look at Larkspur, California. Take a ride through Larkspur, California, and ask yourself where all the money went, that these gangsters won't fix a street. Ask yourself where the previous directors of this town are living. What state they ran to after they robbed the town blank. Public Works, you name it, won't pave a pothole. Robbing the money, stuffing their own, feathering their own nests. And I'm not the only one who sees it. This is an example of a nation that's breaking down from the top to the bottom. Believe me, it started before Obama was president. So how do you fix a thing like that? I don't have a direct answer. I know that each of us has to live our own life, the best way we can and try to be as good as we can, and that's the end of it. You're not going to fix it all. How can one person come along who's going to fix potholes in your town and then save the U.S. military from the decimation it's been subjected to by Barack Obama? I would start with national security and worry about the rest later. The first thing a new leader has to do is resuscitate the U.S. military. Fire all of the new people that Obama put in. Virtually every last one of them is a political appointee along the lines of the KGB appointees in the ex-Soviet Union. And get rid of the PC appointees, throw them out of the military, demote them, and do it by executive order. And then go back and beg all of the officers that Obama purged out of the military and beg them to come back with a huge bonus. And then take ISIS off the planet. Take ISIS off the planet, then rebuild the military, division by division, group by group, department by department. The weapon systems are run down. The morale is at an all-time low, all because Obama has put KGB agents, which you call PC agents, into every aspect of our military. You can't fix the potholes. You got to fix the military first, and then work your way back from there. Believe me, Obamacare wouldn't be the number one thing on my list. The number one thing on my list, if I were in charge, would be the U.S. military. For without national defense, we're nothing. Which is why we become laughed at around the world. Which is why Russia, China, and Iran have now joined together to do what Obama never, ever wanted to do, which is to snuff ISIS. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, yesterday was the big day at the UN. Everyone gave their speech, and Obama came up holding the short straw because everyone sees that he has no knowledge of international affairs, a complete loser, made a mistake at every front. And Hillary Clinton, by the way, is the real goat here. I mean, she created, never forget this, she won't debate anyone because everyone knows she's hiding. And forget the emails for a minute. She has no qualifications to be president based upon her years as Secretary of State. She owns the whole idea of the Arab Spring, which has been an utter disaster. She destroyed the Middle East. The Syrian refugee crisis is a direct result of Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. And, of course, I don't expect the woodpeckers in the media to even bring that up. They're not that clever. That's why they're talking heads on the media. They look good in a suit and tie. And yesterday, Putin had a talk with Obama, and, like, we're really going to get the truth. According to John Kerry, they got along just great. And they both agreed ISIS must be dealt with. Yeah, that's really what happened. And now Kerry comes out and repeats the big lie. And he said, yes, Assad has to go. Has to go. That's the number one thing, is Assad has to go. Kerry, the genius, said that the violence in Syria ends once Assad steps aside, said Kerry. He said, the Russians need to understand you cannot have peace unless you have Sunni buy-in. You hear this? The kind of phrases this moron uses? Sunni buy-in, another phrase. The girls cooked up for him, the sorority. Sunni buy-in. Because Assad is not a Sunni, he's a type of a Shia Muslim, an Alawite, he has to go. You hear this? You talk about religious persecution, so he has to go because he's not a Sunni? This is John Kerry for you. Well, I'll remind you, Mr. Kerry, of another mistake you made. You're well known for your mistakes. You made an idiot statement. You said violence in Syria ends once Assad steps aside. Excuse me, idiot. Did all the violence end in Libya and Egypt once Obama forced Gaddafi and Mubarak out? I mean, please, do you understand what the man is saying? The Obama administration has been lying and messing up our foreign policy for seven straight years. They are totally lost on foreign policy. They are misadvised on foreign policy. They doubled down on their mistakes. They're very much like the French generals in World War I. That no matter what they did wrong, they kept doing it. And they sacrificed hundreds of thousands and then millions of men to their stupidity. It's the same with these idiots. And there's an answer for it. There's an answer for everything. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. John Kerry and Barack Obama live in their own world. They are not subject to any input whatsoever. And that's how great nations fail. They're too insular. There's no loyal opposition. There's no opposition whatsoever. John Boehner is the opposition. That eloquent drunk is going to be the opposition. He's given a speech recently that makes sense on foreign policy or on anything other than what type of Johnny Walker he'd like put into his condominium in Jacksonville. No, I just gave an eloquent speech. It's time John Kerry stepped aside, and it's time Obama stepped aside, but it's not going to happen because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, which is why we have government zero. Government zero explains it all. A government not of the people, by the people, and for the people. A government where there are no borders, no language, and no culture. A government of the government, by the government, and for the government, which is exactly what you have now. Government zero. More government and less representation. No one said it better than I. Now, we've covered an awful lot of material today, mainly lifestyle. We've talked about depression. We've talked about God. We've talked about love. We've talked about the biggest mistakes you may have made in your life. And we've also talked a little bit about the news. Tomorrow, of course, is Wednesday. It's another day. And I may wake up on the other side of the bed and want to do only politics. Maybe I won't watch a history of World War I and the last days of Hitler. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Thanks for listening.